Johnny Logan. Think about this song, there's a fountain filled with blood. My mind runs back to 1927 on a Sunday night in August down in Sumter, South Carolina, when God saved me. I thank the Lord for that. Then in 1936, 23rd of December, there was another blessing. The Lord gave me Hun, sitting at the piano. 42 years ago, I've been preaching almost 40 years, and I thank God again for Glen Haven, who opened her doors with this big-hearted preacher and all of the big-hearted members that loves everybody. I thank God for that. If anybody look at you funny, you can't tell it, because nobody looks funny at you around here. I thank God for that. Isn't that sweet? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel. And send a plunge beneath that blood. I like that. And sinners plunge beneath that blood. Ludo, they give stain. The dying thief rejoice to see. I don't blame him. That fountain in his day. And there me I pour out, oh my. What happened? Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. And there me I pour, though my leather he washed all my sins away. Mm-hmm.
Shady green pastures. Jesus. So rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along where the waters cool flows. They know the way once feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters,
yeah.
Some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song. For in the night season, and all the day long. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of the night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some a song, for in the night season, and all the day long,
I fly away.
I'm
dying.
few more weary days, and then I'll
fly away.
I'll fly away.
I'll fly away.
Oh, to the land where joy shall never end.
Thank the Lord tonight for being here. And I'm so happy that so many folk are going to fly away.
Yeah.
I want to thank y'all for all that good singing y'all been doing all the week.
Yes.
The jubilation and the young people and the choir and Sister Jane Keel and all the rest of them. And Brother John, Sister Sandy Payton, and Joe Sand singers, and that man that blew that horn up here. That boy, and all the singing and everything, it really built me up. I want to thank Brother and Sister White and their daughter for having us over for dinner one day. And I want to thank Brother Randy and Brother Peaky and the rest of them for carrying us out to dinner another day. And I thank the Lord for the fellowship hall snacks over there. I thank God for every bit. Our room at the Days Inn Motel, you hon and I rest pretty comfortable there. And I thank God for this jubilee. I've been in a lot of jubilees, but this jubilee doesn't kill you out. See, they'll have a service in the morning, then you can relax in the afternoon. And I like to relax, you know, and then get ready for the night service. During the week of the 14th, that whole week, Wren Memorial Baptist Church, they're going to have their jubilee. That's in February. Next week, the Lord willing, I've been invited to go to Brother Irwin Crider's church, Rocky Face Baptist Church, in near Dalton, Georgia. And that's Hunt and I, the Lord willing, will be there next Thursday night and then Friday morning. So I want you to pray that God will bless and that souls will be saved. I want to talk a little bit tonight from the subject, chosen, chosen, chosen. The text is found in Acts, the 9th chapter and the 15th verse. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Our Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray, our Father, that you take this message tonight, that you preach it the way that you want it to be preached, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The reason I have chosen written out on my paper here, I have chosen written three times, the headline, three times, chosen, 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 and each chosen has an exclamation mark. Where you see an exclamation mark, that means you come out strong, you come out loud on the word. I like that. I like that. Like that. But so I thought I'd talk a little bit about chosen. In this particular chapter here, it speaks about a little man by the name of Saul Paul. I got a new name, Saul Paul. You theologian, think about that. Think about Saul Paul. You got something to think about. Saul Paul. That's a new name I gave him. But that's a name, Saul Paul. He was Saul before he became Paul, so I just said Saul Paul. I found one man in this jubilee. I was 2.5 inches shorter than Paul. That was Brother Brindle, Brother Bobby Brindle. And he came last night, and I thought it was somebody standing up, reaching down for me to hug them. I just reached back and hugged them, and I turned around, and it was him. And he was about 3.5 feet tall. And I said, now, here's a man almost like Paul. Paul was 4 feet tall, and this man was 3 feet 9.5 inches. So that means he was 2.5 inches shorter. I believe I'm right. I'll let y'all figure that out. Saul had a strange conversion because he was a strange character. Educated head and educated feet, educated fingers and educated eyes and educated mouth and educated tongue and educated body. From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, educated. And he was a philosopher. He knew how to philosophize. He was like Brother Ed Velo. He was a scientist too. He knew everything about science. And then he was a man that was known as a mathematician. He knew how to figure. And then he was a speller. He knew how to spell. And he was a reader. And he was a writer. And God saw all the potentials in this little midget man on his way to Damascus to shut the mouth of a preacher. And God deals with folk who try to shut a preacher's mouth at telling the truth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He deals. And so he decided that he would go down to Damascus after he got papers of authority from the headquarters in Jerusalem. They were in favor of him destroying churches. And any time you've got a group behind you in favor of destroying something good that's going on, they're going to suffer too. You always got a group behind somebody that's out there doing wrong. Always remember that group out there that's doing wrong got a group behind them that's doing wrong. And had a group behind them saying, go ahead and kill every preacher you come in contact with. Put pregnant women in jail. We don't care. Go ahead and stop those churches talking about they're saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. Get every one of them and put them in jail. And he had guts enough to do it. Little midget. Little short man. Fighting against God and fighting against God's program. I'm going out here and I'm going to see that man had a knife and I'm going to stop his mouth from preaching. Put him out of business. But Jesus had already said, upon the rock I build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Boy, he's going to put something out of business now that couldn't go out of business. Isn't that something?
God church is in business to do business for him. Nobody can put God's business out of business. I like that. So while he was on his way down to Damascus, God spoke to the preacher, Pastor Ananias. Pastor Ananias down at Damascus. He headed the church down there, and he was doing a good job pastoring. And Paul heard about the fine work he was doing, so I'm going to stop him from pastoring. But if God wants you to pastor, all the devils out of hell can't stop you. And then Jesus spoke to him on the Damascus road, and the light shone from heaven brighter than the noonday sun, saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And every word that Jesus spake had an exclamation mark behind it. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" It's hard for you to kick against the bricks. But I see something in you, man. You little midget. You little fella, but I love you. I'm going to fix you up. Fix you up. So while he was going down there, heard that voice, said, "Who is it, Lord?" "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Hard for you to kick against the pricks. But I'll tell you what to do now. You go on where you started, and that preacher that you're playing on harming, he's going to help you out. I'm going to let you meet him face to face. Go on down there, don't worry." He said, "I have chosen you as a vessel." He told Paul, said, told Saul, "Saul, Paul. Saul, Paul. He's Saul now. You're going down there." "Well, I guess I will be. If you want me to go, I'll go." So he went on down there, and while he was on his way, God stepped ahead of Saul Paul, touched Ananias on the shoulder and said, "Hey, buddy, how you getting on?" "I'm doing fine. The Holy Ghost had control today. Got some souls saved, and the choir sung good, and the deacons prayed good, and the offering was good. I feel all right." Jesus fixing to upset him now. "I got somebody coming down here to see you. Who is the Lord?" "Oh, you're just a little fella." What's the name?" "Well, the name is Saul. But I'm going to change the name to Paul. Saul Paul." Well, when Ananias heard the name Saul, he backed up and said, "Now, you know, I don't believe in backsliding, Lord." So he said, "I'm in the thing, and you got a good hold. You got a good hold and a good grip on me." He said, "Now, don't play with me." He said, "Well, I'm not playing with you." He said, "You got the stuff in you, and this man is fixed up from a potential standpoint and an educational standpoint. He has a whole lot of potential in him that I want to use, and you're going to be the man to straighten him out." Then Ananias started running his mouth. "Now, Lord, I've heard that this man has played havoc with the church, and he's destroyed a whole lot. Now he's coming out here to bother me." And Jesus said, "He's not coming down here to bother you. He's coming down here to see you. You're going to do something for him." And this is the text where Jesus spake to Ananias, and hear what he said. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And the Lord kind of sweetened old Ananias up by telling him, say, he prays now. Well, that fixed it. If a preacher know you're praying for him, even if you're praying in your own favor, he likes it. So the Lord didn't have no more trouble out of Ananias, and Saul went on down there. He got down there, Ananias called him brother. Isn't it a nice thing to be called brother? I've had folk to call me doctor. Well, I'm not a doctor. I don't have a doctor degree, but every convention I go to, they call me Dr. Wesley. Dr. Grant. It make me feel good, but I know no need to be a fool about it. See, old Saul was a doctor. He was a doctor of education, master of arts, and master of sciences. He had all the degrees and could speak over 7 languages fluently. No wonder God, on the Son Jesus, chose him to be a vessel. Now look up the word chose. It comes from the word choose. And the word choose comes from the word chosen. You know what chosen means? Chosen means selected. To chosen means selected. To choose is to make a choice. And to make a choice is when you pick out something. And chosen means picked. Jesus picked him. He chose him. He picked him. He selected him. Then the selection became affected. He became affected by the selection. And then after you become affected by the selection, then you become effective. He became effective. He was a fit servant for God. I like that. Chosen! God chose him. And whenever God chooses you, I don't care who turned you down, they still can't do you no harm. The devil can play all kind of tricks on you he wants to. But when you're chosen, God works it out for you. That was an example here today. God worked something out for Brother Ed Velo. He didn't know how God was going to work it out, and it wasn't his business. That's it. It wasn't his business how God was going to work it out. God got a way of working things out we don't have no dream of. And I thank God for that. And when God worked it out, some of us shouted, some of us cried, some of us blew our nose, and some of us opened our pocketbooks. We did a little everything here today. When you're chosen, God will take care of you. That brother over here on the right, back over here on the stand up. Is that Brother Deal back there? You the one started that off and off today? Stand up. Now here's the man who started off and off with $100. Brother Ed tried to stop him, but God wouldn't let him. Brother Ed is selected. He's selected and picked by God. And so God said, I'm going to do something for him. And I told Brother Ed, I said, you shut your mouth. I said, you shut your mouth and let God work the thing. God is working the thing and you're trying to stop the work. Saul went down there and Ananias laid his hands on him and prayed for him. He said, I didn't want to see you, you little midget. I didn't want to see you. But God told me that you were on the road praying, and I'm going to lay my hands on you. Come here, boy. Lay hands on him. You receive the Holy Ghost. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Kadoosh! Woo-hoo! Thank you, sir. See, when you're chosen, God will do special things for you. Chosen. Chosen to be a preacher. As long as the name was Saul, Paul,
That S in Saul means it was a sinner, sarcastic, and sinful. And a sinner. And that A in Saul meant he was angry, and he was against everything God had on his program. And that U in Saul meant he was ugly, had an ugly disposition. And that L meant he was little and lustful and loud. God told him, "I'm going to, since you have been chosen by me, I have a right to do with you what I want to do." And looked at him and said, "I'm going to change your name. Well, my name's Saul, but I'm going to change it to Paul. I'm just going to take one letter away. I'm going to take the S away. I'm going to take away that crooked letter and put another P there. Just put a P there. That P will be for prisoner because you're going to jail."
Amen.
That P is for prophet, you're going to prophesy. That P is for preacher, you're going to expound the word of God. And then that A will be in Paul for anxious. Since you've been chosen, you'll be anxious to live for me. Anxious to preach the word and anxious to tell them it must be wrong again. Anxious. And then with that you stood for ugly in Saul to be for useful in Paul. You are a traveler. I'm going to use you. You are the Bible writer. I'm going to use you. You have been chosen.
Yeah.
Where that L stood for little and loud and lustful in Saul, it stood for lovable and little and louder in Paul. I like that. I like that. See, he was a loud mouth sinner, but when he got saved, he got louder. Yes, he did. Little midget, but loud. Spirit of God got on the inside. He lifted up his voice like a trumpet and told everybody, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel for the power of God unto salvation." Paul was chosen. Paul was chosen to preach. He was chosen to hold up the New Testament church. But before he got in the church, he had a harder time getting in the church than any preacher God ever called. He went to church and said, "I want to join this New Testament church." Is this a conservative church, a missionary Baptist, an independent Baptist? He said, "I don't care what kind it is, I want to join it." He said, "I want to join church." You know what they said to him? "We don't want you. We don't want you. You midget. We don't want you. You midget, and you took your little self, and you've done more against God than any man we ever known about. We don't want you." He said, "But I've been chosen. We don't care if you have been chosen. We don't want you." He said, "But God chose me on the Damascus Road. We don't care if he chose you on the Jerusalem Road. We don't want you." But he said, "Now, I've been out there in the world. I've done wrong and I've lived wrong. Now I want to get in the church. We don't want you in the church. Now let me tell you something. Isn't it good to have somebody decent in the church, decent enough to stand up for you?" Paul had one friend in that church. You know who that was? Y'all remember? Barnabas. That got somebody down there said, "Barnabas, you know your book." It was Barnabas. And while all those folk were running their mouths in the church saying, "We don't want you, we don't want you, don't care if you are chosen," Barnabas got up and said to everybody, "Shut up!
Will you shut up? You haven't got no sense. You don't know what you're talking about. You know everybody did shut up? You know the reason? Because the Bible said Barnabas was an honorable man. And you listen to an honorable man. You listen to a man of integrity, a man that got good sense, and a man who knows what he's talking about. You listen to him. Barnabas said, shut up, every one of you, and listen to me. So I want to tell you something about this midget. God laid hands on him. God saved him, and I know about him. And I'm speaking in his behalf. And I make a motion without any argument that he become a member of this New Testament church. And he didn't have no trouble getting a second. And is everybody in favor? Let it be known by saying aye. And everybody had to vote aye because it was unanimous. Somebody been a fool to say no. But everybody in there said aye. And then Paul got into the church. And then he started writing. He started reading. He started traveling. He started preaching, chosen. And then the church found out that he was really chosen because they left stone to him and said, we were afraid of that man, but he chosen. So he was chosen. Chosen, as I stated, to be a prophet, to be a preacher. Chosen to be an evangelist, to evangelize the whole world. He was chosen to be a missionary, to go out and win souls for Jesus Christ. He was chosen to be a counselor. He never was married, but he was the greatest marriage counselor in the world. He said, husbands, love your wives. He said, wives, love your husbands. And he told the preachers, you be the preacher one wife. He told the deacons, you be the husband of one wife. So the preacher had to be the husband of one wife. Deacon had to be the husband of one wife. O-N-E with an exclamation mark. One! He was a counselor. Then he told the children, obey your parents in the Lord. Then he told the parents, bring up your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. He was a counselor. Never was married, but he knew how to do. He knew how to behave himself. He didn't take advantage of no woman or no girl. He wasn't a fool on two feet. I like that. I'm almost through now. He was chosen, as I said, to be a counselor, a reader, a writer, and a traveler, and a soul winner. Then he was chosen to be a broken neck fixer. Isn't that something? Man didn't know nothing about medicine. Didn't know nothing about operating. But he was in an all-night meeting. He was in a jubilee service. He had a jubilee service one night, and Paul preached all night long. And a young man sat up in the window listening, and the devil put him to sleep. And he fell out the window and broke his cool neck. You know what happened? Paul stopped preaching and went down where the man was and laid his hands on him. He didn't use no splints. He didn't use no tape. He didn't wrap him up, but just laid his hand on him. He said, God, this man went to sleep while I was preaching your word. While I was being chosen, he went to sleep on me. The neck is broken and he's dead. Wake him up and let him come back. Just laid his hand on him. The man opened his eyes and said, preacher, I won't go to sleep on you no more. Chosen. He was chosen to travel on a ship with 276 men. By him being on the ship, he told the men that were manning the ship said, "Now you're fixing to take this boat and these 276 men out there in the water, but a storm is going to come up." And the shipmaster said, "You shut your mouth. You talk about being chosen. You stick to your chosen work that you got. And I'm a shipmaster, and I'll man the ship, and you man your pulpit." Paul said, "But the Lord," the man said, "I don't care what the Lord says." But Paul said, "The Lord told me that a storm is going to come up. And when you have been chosen by God, He'll talk to you. Amen. I know He will." Amen. The man said, "Well, you stick to your preaching, I'll stick to my boating and my shipping." He said, "Well, go ahead." And he went out there and then he got in trouble. When we got in trouble, the chosen one, the little midget, the chosen one stood up and said, "Now if you jump out of this boat, oh, you're going to drown." He said, "But God told me to tell you, Mr. Shipmaster, and all the rest of you, if you stay on this boat, stay on the ship, now the soul will be lost." Yeah. That shipmaster didn't argue no more. He left everything in God and the chosen man's hands. Yeah. After a while, the storm came up and tore the ship into 276 pieces, and every man grabbed a boat. Chosen! Chosen! And you know what? God gave every man a boat, and God gave every man a wave, and every man wave carried him to the dry land. When you're chosen, God will help other folk in your behalf. By them listening to Paul, not a soul was lost. They didn't get a bad cold. Didn't get neuritis. They didn't sneeze. They didn't have no kind of disease. And they did nothing. Didn't have to take no four-way cold tablet. No BCs. Didn't have to take anything. Because God took care of them and not a one got sick. And then when he got out there, the devil said, "I'm going to fix this chosen one." And the devil put a viper in the fire, and the viper jumped out and latched on the pole and bit him. And then they stood to see him die, but he was chosen. And he just shook that thing right back in the fire, and the fire killed it. And they thought he was going to swell up and die, but he didn't die because he was chosen. All right, I'm almost through now. I'm not going to preach long. Paul was chosen to go to both the Jews and the Gentiles. God chose him as a world preacher. He was supposed to go to both Jews and Gentiles because the Jews had to know the word, the Gentiles had to know the word, and he went without grumbling. Not like that. All right? He was chosen to go to the rich and the poor, the high and the low, the educated, the uneducated, the good and the bad, the saints and the sinners, and then the lazy and the smart folk. Then he was chosen to go to the employed and unemployed. Boy, this is a funny message. He was supposed to preach to folk that owned something and folk who didn't have nothing. He was chosen to preach to contractors and builders and preachers and teachers and lawyers and doctors and singers. Paul was chosen to preach to the church folk to tell them how to live, act, and die. Most of his message was to the church folk. And most of our messages are to church folk. And if we don't keep the church straight, nobody else in the world to keep them straight. Because he said, "Feed the sheep." You're supposed to be sheep, not goats. Goats out there in the world, but sheep in the church. Paul used to be a goat, but God made a sheep out of him. Chosen from a goat to a sheep. Boy, this is crazy, isn't it? Paul preached to the church. And this is what he said to the church folk. He said, "When I was a child," in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Amen. Now, he will let all of us know that when you're young, act young. But when you get old, act old. We got a whole lot of old folk trying to act like a teenager. That's crazy. When I was a child, I speak as a child, understood as a child, and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things and start using my matured mind. I'm almost through, Brother Randy. I got just a little bit more down here. I want y'all to know what I got down on this paper. Paul was chosen to preach the not ashamed gospel. Everywhere he went, he lifted up his voice and said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the power of God unto salvation to the Jews and also to the Greeks. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul was chosen to talk about his earthly ministry and his heavenly departure. Listen to what he says in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th verses. But what thou? In all things. He's talking to a young preacher now. He said, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. That's what he said to Timothy. Now he's coming down to himself. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. He's getting ready to take an airplane ride. It wasn't a plane that was going to go up and then circle around. He's getting ready to take wings. My departure is at hand. What about it? I have fought a good fight. Boy, I'm almost at the bottom of the thing now. I have finished my course. I finished my course in preaching. I finished my course in living right. Now, I want to tell you one thing. All of us, I've been preaching almost 40 years. But you know what? When I'm through preaching, somebody else is going to have to take up a course. I'm wondering why you're sitting here tonight. What course have you chosen? Some here tonight chose to be missionaries. Some chose to be doctors, and some lawyers, and some singers. But it's good to make a choice while you're choosing. And Paul said, I have finished my course. And I like this, I have kept the faith. I didn't fool around with the thing. I kept the faith. I didn't care on no monkey business, but I preached God's word everywhere I went, I preached. He said, there now, therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with the Lord, the judge, righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul knew the book, like Brother Samuel, like Brother Don, like Brother Ed Vallow, and like Brother Randy, and like the whole lot of rest of you. He knew the book. And he knew the book, and he gave us these words by saying, I have been chosen, and since I have been chosen by God, something else I want to tell you in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that you labor not in vain in the Lord. The word vain comes from the Latin word vanus, which means empty. He said, I didn't do no empty preaching. I didn't do no empty singing. I didn't do no empty missionary work, but I was filling God's work, and everywhere I went, God filled me with the Spirit, and I did a full job for God. Now, I didn't have to do the job, but everywhere I went, I told everybody, they must be born again. He said, be steadfast and immovable. Romans 6 and 23 said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he said in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned that come short of the glory of God. The chosen one is talking. Then he said in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, my beloved brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, with your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like that. Then I like Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I close out with this verse here, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I thank God tonight that He chose me. Are you one of God's chosen ones? If you want a God chosen one, then act like it. You want a God chosen one, then live like it. You want a God chosen one, preach like it and tell him. They must be born again. I'm glad God chose me. Told me to preach His word. I had it pretty rough sometime, but I preach anyhow. Paul said I had a hard time, but I told me and I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. For the power of God unto salvation. God told the choir to sing His song. He told the preachers to preach His word. He told Brother Randy to put on the greatest jubilee in the world. I've been a whole lot of places, but I haven't been no place where they had the kind of jubilee and the clang on that they have here. I want to tell you, when the Spirit of God come down, you get all in your feet. Feet make you move around. Yeah! Find your hand. Make you clap your hands with joy. And when you're chosen, you do what God wants you to do. You say what God wants you to say. You live like God tells you to live. You shout like God tells you to shout. You stand like God tells you to stand. Yeah! Old Paul said, yeah! I have another building not made with hands. When I'm through preaching, I'm going up home. Well, my departure is at hand. Nero's chopping block is waiting on me. They're going to take my head off, but I have another head. Well, they're going to kill the whole body. Well, but I got another body. Well, I got a building not made with hands. Woohoo! Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Woo-hoo. I'm going to sing the song then, close out now. I thank God that Paul was chosen. He was chosen. I want to sing Blessed Assurance. Can I have a hymn book? I want to sing Blessed Assurance.
Would you sing it while I do something for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Bless your heart.
I don't want anybody to move. Okay? Just close that door. Everybody just stay this way you are. You ought to respect the pastor.
Amen.
Now, all the week I've been giving out love, good, giving out tapes, giving out money, giving out anything that anybody needed. That I knew about. I've been giving all the week. Now I want you to give me something. Y'all say y'all appreciate this jubilee and you appreciate old Brother Randy and he done a good job getting all this together and all this and so forth. Now I want you to do something for me. I love Wesley Grant.
Amen.
He's on television up in Asheville, North Carolina. He's 2 or 3 weeks behind now. I think he owes about $700. I saw him today give his week's salary to Brother Ed Vallone. He took his check, where they had paid him, he endorsed it, and he gave it to Brother Ed. When he came in this church, during this jubilee, he came in and he brought a check. He sent money to Tommy Harris, Willie Pender, Wesley Sheffield, and y'all especially remember him tonight. This is the time for you to do something for old Wesley. But I want everybody that's breathing to reach your hand in your pocket, and I want you to give Wesley Grant an offer. And if you don't have something, borrow it from the one next to you. You children,